Attention listeners, AfterSight's annual hike is coming up on July 27th.
It was a really good experience for me.
Visit aftersight.org/hike and become an audio trekker today.
That hike today gave me so much courage.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. I'm Jonathan Price.
I'm Evan Starnes.
And together, we're bringing you news, tech, and information about blind technologies.
Being blind doesn't mean you have to stop living.
We're going to show you just how possible it is to live the life you want. That's right, and if you're wanting to live that amazing life, you have come to the right place. Welcome to Blind Level Tech, Jonathan Price, and the one and only
Evan Starnes.
Coming at you loud and proud from the United States, and I have to say United States, because in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Oksana Chichinkova, all the way from across the world, where she's about ready to go to bed, but she is in Moscow. And or kind of around that area. But before we get to her, Evan, have you who is the farthest person you've talked to, at least that you can remember or recall?
Oh, gosh. At least that I can recall, it would probably have been Muhammad. At least here on BLT.
Muhammad, who's the guy that we had on from Australia? We had a guy on from Australia. Yeah. I don't know if that was even further, maybe depending on the direction you go, but either way, it's a pretty
abrupt
long drive. Yeah, it'd take a minute to get there. But yeah. Evan, how was your weekend, man? How's your week going?
My weekend was beautifully unproductive, which is not a bad thing. I know it's a
beautifully unproductive. Okay.
I mean,
there we go.
That, yeah.
Don't tell Alex that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It is what it is at the point, I guess.
Yep. I caught up on laundry. Yay. Adulting. Oh. And pretty much didn't really do a whole lot of stuff, you know, of interest. Kind of just relaxed, hung out, watched YouTube.
Nice.
I am getting into Joe Elizabeth Pinto's book, though. And she was on The Blind Chick actually on one of our Low Vision book clubs. And that's been an incredible treat. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, I didn't do very much. It's been kind of I take that back. It's been incredibly busy. And I want to say that it's been a good busy, but it's just not been. We're so far ahead on all of our recordings and all of our shows because we're preparing for the Game Changers podcast coming out at the end of May and beginning of June. So that's going to be super awesome. If you guys are interested, we are going to be presenting a podcast on blind athletes and all the sports that they play. So that's everything from the Olympics all the way down to playing chess and to being outdoors and paddleboarding and all those wonderful things, the glow ball and beatball and blind hockey, and which Evan is probably going to be joining the Denver blind hockey team, maybe.
Possibly.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I've never picked up a hockey stick in my life, so.
So it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. And it'll be fantastic. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us at feedback@aftersight.org, or you can give us a phone call at 720-712-8856 if you have questions for myself or Evan. And I know our guest, Oksana, she has some questions about using a Mac computer. But before we get that, Oksana, how
hello?
Are you? What time?
Hello,
what time
hello.
Is it in? What time is it in Moscow?
It is about 11 p.m.
Holy Whoa. Smokes! It's way past your bedtime.
But I am happy because I am the kind of a night owl, and I love to stay up late. And it is really hard for me to wake up early, or particularly to like to give lectures, to participate in any meetings, any calls at 9 a.m. I think people should be killed.
No, then you would not like me because I am up at 5:30 every morning.
Yeah,
doing my thing.
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah,
gosh.
Yeah,
you
it's fantastic.
Are my hero.
Mine too.
Don't say that.
Have been mine.
Don't say that. Don't put me up on that pedestal. I'm likely to fall off. But Oksana, it's such a blessing to be able to talk to you. And you were on The Blind Chick. And I think your show actually comes out in a couple of weeks for that. So if you're listening to this, just realize that she is going to be on The Blind Chick. And it's a very different story. You're going to hear some of how she lives in Russia, in Moscow, and some of the wonderful things that she does. But we're going to talk about the technology side of what she does. And she is, she works for a very large world organization bank and does a lot of things in the finance industry. But that's not just the cool part. The cool part is the tech that she uses from start to finish. And so, Oksana, starting there, when you got this job in banking, what were some of the technological hurdles that you had to overcome when getting this job?
Well, I had to learn how to use Android. Because I had to test a mobile application. And before, I used to use only Apple, only iPhone. And I should admit that I don't like Android too much. iPhone is much more friendly for me, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I had to do that to assist my colleagues. Thanks to God, I don't know. I don't do it now because I'm doing some other things. But anyway, I had to overcome that. Another thing was that I had to be aware. I had to adapt to some interfaces, to some applications. For instance, Task Manager, Jira and Confluence. It wasn't hard, I would say. It wasn't very difficult, but I had to sit down and to run around to try to find this or that. For instance, once I closed the task and I couldn't, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't have done that, but I did. And I asked my colleague, my sighted colleague, oh, please, I had to reopen it because I did it the wrong way. And he did, he told me, okay, don't worry, I will do that for you. And, you know, you touched the topic about Macintosh, about Mac using. Actually, it's my own initiative because my laptop operating by Windows is quite old. And I had a dream to use something like I saw when people were using Mac and iPhone together, and I was thinking, oh gosh, you close the like the note on the iPhone and you open it in Mac or vice versa. And I said, I want this way too. And now this is my coming out. I bought my Mac 2 years ago. I'm quite a sincere person. I bought it 2 years ago, and first I was really scared to do that. Then I tried doing that. I tried to move around. I had a course. Actually, there is a course, some recordings in Russian. And I was just, I was thinking, okay, I will be listening to that just in theory. And then I will come and I will practice myself. Unfortunately, I killed my Mac. I mean, I just, put the password. And then I just forgot it. And I had to block it, to unblock it with a sighted assistance through the terminal. I think it's called this way, the terminal. Like it doesn't work with VoiceOver. And then for what is now, I started doing that 2 weeks ago, and I'm coming to my Mac every day and I'm trying to do that. And by the way, before I wrote something in my exercise book in Braille, and now I see that it was in vain. I shouldn't have done that. So I'm moving through the forest of errors and different frustrations. But anyway, I think this is the way how I should move.
Well, that's awesome to hear. And I mean, yeah, it's the Mac is, if you're coming from a Windows perspective, I was, it's a completely different beast. And just because I'm a geek, I am curious when you, well, you're What did you use for assistive technology on your Windows laptop? Like, what were you coming from?
Okay. I started with JAWS. I don't remember the version, but it was quite a long ago. Mm-hmm. And my first Windows operating system was XP.
Oh,
but before, you'll be laughing, I was using this
MS-DOS.
Operating system.
Oh.
And what I have now is Windows 8.1. Unfortunately, my laptop doesn't let me put Windows 10. For whatever reason, I don't know. And I'm using NVDA, and I think it's not worse than JAWS. No way.
It's about the same.
Well, so it's interesting to hear the different levels of technology and the use. And how has going into your career and using technology kind of benefited, and how do you use the technology for work?
Actually, I started using, when I learned how to use Windows, I found a job. My child was quite little at that time, and I had a job as a writer. I was writing about massage for the website, and my friend gave me this job because I have a good writing skills and communication skills. And then I started using different I don't use a lot of applications, actually, honestly. I use internet browsers, mail programs, mailing programs, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and I think Adobe, different things. Mm-hmm. And this is probably it. Zoom and Teams and all that stuff,
yep,
surely.
All that good stuff.
More, actually, if I wouldn't learn the computer at that time, I simply couldn't find a job. This is it. And then I started testing, website testing. And first, it was just for fun. When I was working for the DPO, Disability People Organization, I started testing websites for partners. They were coming to me and said, okay, you are the only person who is blind. And could you please see our website and just tell us, is it good or bad?
Yeah.
And I was writing okay, this page has such mistakes and this page has such mistakes. But I think it was just toy for kids because we, even in user testing, we shouldn't put it this way. We should put it differently, more professional level. Then I tested some more websites. Then I was working as a project part-time for one bank. This is an international bank again. And I was testing their website. And even then, it wasn't good enough. I mean, surely I found all the mistakes, but I couldn't describe it the way I should describe it. And then when I was invited to work for this big financial institution, my colleague showed me how to make records, how to write everything, because he told me, okay, you should write environmental data, what you're using for testing, what operating system, what kind of version of app, and what kind of testing environment, et cetera, et cetera. And then to write just a lady who is on the kitchen, but more in more professional way. Still, I am not a developer. I'm not a person. And I will tell you, now I am a member of the team, although I'm doing some other things. I am still formally in a team which is working on testing. And I see that they are doing it differently. They have much more knowledge and they have much more to do in comparison to us. This is a fact, and we shouldn't we shouldn't reject it or say that it is not true.
Sure.
And actually, it's a big school, and I know a lot. And I was training together with my colleague, who is a sighted designer. We made a training which is called Inclusion in Design, and we had some interaction there. And we worked with four groups of students. There were designers who work in this bank for different features. And it was quite interesting because every course consists of two trainings. And I think it was a good product. I'm sure it was a good product. And we got most amount of likes from designers after they had their learning program, like many courses from editors, from other designers, etc., etc. So we were the best. And I'm absolutely sure that it was a good product. And then I learned a lot as well. So at least what I can do now, I get a, like, for instance, I get a website. I was working with one of the museum this way. I got their website and I had to write down all the mistakes they have on their website and some recommendations what they should do. And I did it this way. But, you know, I'm not ready to spend all my life with testing. Because my colleagues who are involved in technical aspects, they what they do, they are sitting and watching out all the releases. They are, for instance, colleagues show them all features using screen readers and all that stuff. Mm. And they are giving them recommendations. No way, because I think this is a waste of time. In my opinion, this is a waste of time, and they get a lot of other information. Thanks God, I gave them some corrections, such as I told them, okay, but could you please just ask them to show accessibility separately, without other metrics, without other features, and. Now they are doing with some teams, they are doing some product teams, they are doing this way, and it at least it saves their time. But why couldn't they think about it themselves? I have no idea.
Right.
And admittedly, too, I was trying to very, very carefully navigate around the MS-DOS rabbit hole, as it is something I never got to grow up using, and I've always been very curious about it. I do want to know, when you were using, when you started out with MS-DOS, which is vastly different from Windows or Mac OS, you know, it's command line based mostly. So you type in, you type your commands in, you instruct the computer what to do through text for those who don't know. What technologies did you use with DOS? Might be a bit of a throwback for some people.
Well, I don't know if you know about that, but I spent one school year in the United States. Well, when I was a schoolgirl, and there I started using DOS, but just a bit before. But over there in Philadelphia, in Oruch School for the Blind, I started using DOS, and it was quite easy for me. I will tell you the truth, because first. Commands are associated with words, with English words. And I think it was quite hard for those who don't speak English, in my opinion. And then I was very, very young, and it was easy for me to actually to learn how to do that and to take all the knowledge I get. And we were using, I remember we were using like the screen reader or synthesizer, like it's called Business Vision, it was. And then we started using Vocalize. And I was the one who was rebelling, like saying, oh, I don't want to change to Vocalize. It's stupid, et cetera, et cetera. And our computer teacher gave us a chance. So when we switched on the computer, or when whenever we logged in using our account, so we had to press, like whenever we switched speech screen reader, we could choose press B for business vision, or A for Arctic vision, or V for vocalize, something like that. And it was quite long ago, but anyway, it was good, and I was happy. At least I was satisfied.
Absolutely, that's what makes. Yeah, absolutely.
Would you ever go back to DOS after using what you have now?
No, but at least I, for instance, there is a command like Windows plus R, like when you go to like run something. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not DOS, but anyway, it's likely DOS.
It's like DOS, you know, I use the run dialog every single day. And I mean, it makes
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you can type anything in there, from web addresses to, you know, folders to files that you want to open. And it really can be a wonderful shortcut. So.
And I remember some commands, for instance, we were some settings when we, for instance, when we sent our homework to any teacher, we had to type like give, like Holly, we had Miss Holly, who was teaching us business English and some other English subjects. Give Holly a colon backslash.
Oh yeah, you had to find the
to find the folder command
on the floppy disk.
Yeah. Like or G, because we had like our accounts we had on G colon backslash and all that stuff.
Which is funny because now when you say things like the G drive, everybody thinks Google Drive or the
something like that. Absolutely.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, absolutely.
That's funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you had all these file path names that you had to remember. And even now on Windows computers, you still have to remember some sort of file path names. But on Mac, it's so much different. Everything is less file path based.
More graphical.
Yeah,
but still, so, they have like the command like a voice, VO plus G, like this command, like using the way, as far as I can understand. Anyway, I found one interesting thing when I'm working at the bank, and whenever I ask people, lots of people are using Mac, and they think that it's more prestigious. As far as I can understand, but I think it's easy. I have just to try hard and to learn that.
It's got a learning curve associated with it because you're going from the desktop to the Finder environment, and it just looks a little different.
Yeah.
And the way VoiceOver works, you have a lot more of those. How did you like the weird? At least to me, it was weird. The layered commands where, you know, if you found like a table or whatever, you had to interact with the table, then you could navigate around the table, and then you had to stop interacting with the table. How'd you handle that one? Because that was a learning curve for me.
Well, I think I got used to it. At least I associate some commands, like some elements that I have to navigate and, you know, to interact with it, I have to go to the table. And I think I know that Quick Nav helps. Like Quick Nav, you could switch on or off.
Quick Nav is wonderful, yes.
But I didn't quite get used to it. I don't know all the tricks or tips connected with that. But anyway, at least I started to think in Mac way. It's hard now, and I don't know how to do a lot of things. But anyway, and I like that it is all on one box. What I mean is VoiceOver is a part of the system. And even such a user like me didn't destroy the computer so far.
Absolutely. And it's one of the very few computers that'll actually let you get into the things like the recovery menu and get full on screen reader support because of the fact that it's built straight in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And I like the these clarifications, these hints, tips, like press this and this to interact with this, like that.
You're currently in a dialogue to interact with the guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It instructs you. I mean, they get annoying, but they are really helpful at first. So
for me, it's something necessary right now.
Absolutely.
Maybe then, later on, when I am retired, I will switch it off.
Well,
Well, I have to ask, why in the world did you switch from Windows to Mac? I don't remember if you said that at the beginning or not.
I mentioned that because I like the connection with the iPhone. And I like the way my colleague showed it during the demo sessions. And I was thinking, oh, wow, it's nice. It's fast. And another thing, I will tell you one reason. It's maybe it could be weird, but it could sound weird. But anyway, I was upset that Windows doesn't have Outlook Express anymore.
Oh, yeah. They kicked and Outlook a while ago.
Express. I was trying to find something. I don't like all those, like, Thunderbirds and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to say a word, but anyway, you know, what I mean. And by the way, I learned Outlook, Microsoft Outlook, because we have it on our virtual machine at the banking. Like when you press some commands, you go to virtual desktop and we have Outlook installed. And I was thinking that I would never ever learn that, but now I am good at that.
Absolutely.
I should admit.
Nice.
Anyway, I am not sorry that I didn't buy a computer with Windows. I will tell you this story. I think nothing comes by chance. I will tell you why. It was some years ago. I was in the store. I went there together with my son, and we were working around. I found the computer, and I was just touching it because I like to touch the keyboard. It's very important, extremely important that the keyboard should be good, because I'm typing just a lot of things. This is my main thing to do in life, in my job anyway. And I was about to buy it, but something stopped. I don't know why. Maybe because they told me that it is better to pay in cash. I didn't have cash and I didn't know where to go to find a closest ATM. And I said, let's go. I don't want to buy it. And I heard some people were complaining that Windows 11 is much worse than Windows 10. And I will tell you one thing. A month ago, I was thinking, maybe I should sell my Mac. Maybe I shouldn't use it. Maybe I cannot do that. But I was thinking, oh no, I will buy Windows 11.
No way.
I don't want to have that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny. Not much worse. I have one last question for you, and we can, before we get into our favorite section on BLT, you made it sound like, because web accessibility, while it's a very lucrative and amazing and very beneficial thing field to be in, I kind of got the impression that this is not where you want to land. Where do you really want to be, in a couple of years when it comes to using technology in your day-to-day life?
Well, actually, what I'm doing now is quite fine. Now I'm working with adaptation services for persons with disabilities, including different assignments such as PR, marketing, and some audit, maybe a little bit checking, coming and checking, but it's quite rare. But anyway, I like speaking in front of the audience. I like telling people stories. I like writing different things. And this is where I would like to be, in diversity and inclusion field, in any way of it. It needs to be developed. And I would like to go more in marketing. But as you understand, we have to use technologies anyway. So I don't want just testing itself. It's just boring. I could do that on daily. I mean, I could do that if the kind of project for a week. But doing this from 9 to 6, oh no.
Yeah.
It's not my field of interest. But anyway, for instance, we were doing a marketing campaign for increasing the amount of clients getting social benefits, getting it into our bank. And I was creating different push texts of push notifications or like messages, or I wrote different articles, and I even came to a TV with a very big federal channel, which showed the video about the bank. And I was over there. I got such a pleasure. I like to be with people and work for people. And yeah, human absolutely. Is yep. something that is prioritized for me rather than technology.
Very cool.
Did I frustrate you?
No.
No.
Not even
not at
remotely.
All. Why would you frustrate us? No,
because
that's a
this
fun
is a program about, this is a podcast about technology, but we came to an area where actually it is about technology, because if you could only know how much I have to write. We have a messenger. Maybe you know this messenger. It is, some of my American friends use it. It's called Telegram.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ah, really? Okay. And it is not really accessible it is accessible, but not...
Not really.
It doesn't have good accessibility for iPhone, but I use it every single day. And if I could only count how many messages I send via this Telegram, yeah, some things are not very easy to use, but... I do different tricks for myself, and it works. At least it works. So we use technologies anyway. What I am not really interested in, I will tell you, I'm not really interested in artificial intelligence. I mean, I like it when it's good, when it helps us. For instance, I love the function of Be My Eyes, which helps us to describe pictures. It describes so exactly, so precisely, whatever. It's so close to reality. It gives so many details. And I was kidding to my colleagues. Okay, I will never send you the wrong picture. Believe me. Also, I use Seeing AI, for instance, because colleagues like to send graphical interfaces or any screens, and it describes transcripts. It perfectly. Mm-hmm. And what else I like? But once I found the demo version of program, like artificial intelligence, like the website, etc., etc., and I asked it to write a song for me. Like, okay, please make up a song for me.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. It was such a horrible, there was no, like, it wasn't just a lyrics. It was just lines of text. This is it. And some of the things were not good and, like, I would say congruent in, related, like a foreigner was writing it, okay? If you know what I mean.
Oh, that's funny.
If a Russian person could just read it, he could say, this person doesn't speak Russian. Because we don't put sentences this way.
That's funny. Well, I'm glad to hear that somebody else I'm not completely against AI. I use AI quite a bit in my day-to-day job.
I'm not completely against too, as well.
Like, I'm not going to rely on it to do my job.
Absolutely.
Like, I could still do my job if AI was out of the picture.
We're all on the same page here.
Wow, great.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. So because you're in Russia and you have a very eclectic cuisine, over here in the States, we have a very famous sandwich called the BLT. And so I think this is a perfect time to start our...
The sandwich of the week.
Yeah.
So with you obviously being in Russia, what are there any sandwiches that you like, or what would you equate to a sandwich that we might have here in America, or what's your favorite one?
Well... Are you talking about a real sandwich?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See? Either a sandwich or a burger or whatever you
like to call it in
Russia.
Actually, let's start with what I really like. I like filet-o-fish very much.
Ooh.
I like cheeseburger. very much.
Nice.
Unfortunately, the quality, I don't know, by the way, guys, what it is, what the situation is in America, but we have a bad quality sandwiches here. I mean, it's much, much worse than it used to be. And so I don't go to McDonald's or whatever, or any restaurants. Mm-hmm. I wish I could come to the United States as fast as I can and to eat my favorite Filet-O-Fish.
There you go.
And talking about my preferences, what I could make myself, I like, okay, let's find good words. I mean, appropriate words, because it's hard for me to find words in food or whatever. Okay, let's try.
Use them in Russian because that'd be so fun to hear.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that.
Итак, бутерброд с красной рыбой на белый тостовый хлеб кладется красная рыба. Сверху кладется крем-чиз. И сверху можно положить еще немножко зелени. И сверху еще немножко, еще белый хлеб. То есть это будет закрытый сэндвич.
So the only thing that I got out of that was, I think it was sauerkraut.
And cream cheese.
And cream cheese.
Yeah.
I love
that
it.
That is awesome.
I'm just going to take sauerkraut and cream cheese and put them on a sandwich and see what happens.
I will try to explain in English. Maybe you would like it. So we
Go
have a piece of bread, like toast bread, which you could fry like in grill or toaster or roaster, whatever, just a little bit. So it will have a very crunchy top and bottom, and it will be smooth inside. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then you put like the fish, like salmon?
Salmon, yep. Fish.
Salmon, yep, yep.
And then you put cream cheese, and then you put some like some green, not vegetables, but some like maybe green salad or I should be prepared.
That's okay.
No, no,
not at all.
This is why we do this. This is
and
fun.
And then to put bread on the top.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love
okay,
it.
Okay, that sounds delicious, honestly. And
vegetarian sandwiches. I'm not mm-hmm. meat person.
It sounds very akin to a modern and gourmet style filet of fish.
It really does.
I mean, that's really,
maybe.
It's that's nice.
Maybe.
That's
Thank
nice.
You.
That's nice. That's
a lot
nice.
Better and healthier.
Evan, yeah. Evan, what do you got?
Oh.
And then you have to say it in Russian.
yeah, I can't.
That was beautiful,
I can't make
by
that
the
promise.
Way.
That was wonderful. I cannot do that. I apologize. But I have a bit of a weird one, and it's not even really technically a sandwich, which is why I'm saying it on here, because it is I was at.
Oh Lord, you're going to say corn dog, aren't you?
No. Ooh, good idea. I'll keep that in the. I'll keep that in the bag for future episodes.
Okay.
And I'm not going right. to do what I did with Ellie and be like a filet of fish.
Filet of fish. Yeah, if you guys tuned in last week, fun. You would have totally. Yeah,
but
he built up this whole big thing about it being this wonderful sandwich, and then he said McDonald's filet of fish sandwich, and I was like, "Are you freaking kidding me right
it
now?"
It was awesome. But I mean, this heavens. Really was a well. I made it a sandwich, but I was at a seder. It was a thing at my mom's church, and they had us. Part of the ceremony was that we had these. They're maybe Jonathan. You'll know what they are. They're like these big cracker looking thing. They're like actual crackers, and you break them, and then they had a sweet kind of a. It was like made out of apples and cinnamon, and it was really good. And then in contrast, they had horseradish, and it was to kind of just symbolize life, the good parts in life and the bitter parts in life. And it was interesting because they had you put horseradish on one cracker and then the sweet stuff on another cracker and make it into a sandwich. And it actually surprised me. It was not that bad. If you like horseradish. And I told you it's a weird one.
Nice. There you go. That's a weird one for sure. That
oh, Jonathan.
I don't even know where to go with it. You broke me. I'm going to have to go classic because everybody's brains are spinning right now with like, what in the world are these sandwiches? So let's go easy. I'm going to go a double cheeseburger, but instead of like cheddar cheese, I'm going to use pepper jack. And then because we have Oksana here, add some sauerkraut and some horseradish on there. Oh, so good. So good. Well, Oksana, it's been so much fun having you on the show. Evan, any final thoughts from you before we get final thoughts from Oksana?
Absolutely not. But I really do appreciate having you on. You taught me some really wonderful stuff that I didn't know and that I can walk away with. And I am so, so glad. I cannot emphasize how happy I am that we've been able to connect today.
Agreed. Oksana, what would you like to leave our audience with? What message do you want them to hear?
Well, first, I would like to thank you for invitation. And I was worried because I was thinking, oh, wow, we are going to talk about technology. And will I be able to talk about that clearly and in a good way? But I think I was fine. At least nothing would be deleted. And my final message, guys, try not to be scared. Try not to be afraid of something new. This is a message partly for me as well. But we have to move anyway. And it's good to help each other in any way. I mean, this is just remember, we all are in the same boat. And we all can help each other in any way, absolutely. With any good word, with any good advice, with any smile, with just, I don't know, just with a knowledge of the way we know each other.
Yeah, I love that message. That's such a wonderful, powerful message. And I think that's a great place to end it. So on behalf of Evan Starnes and the entire AINC family. AINC. This is Jonathan Price, and oh my gosh.
I'm always going to correct you on that.
After, I know. Oh my God. It's going to happen all the time. I'm just going to keep doing it. And so for our AfterSight family and Evan Starnes,
don't forget to plug in your devices, and we'll see you next week.